smiling because at the last moment, a lot of you, a whole, let me say, busload of you came into the temple room, a mini busload. So I will start again. We have started the last time a series of lectures about the amazing unfolding of Narottam Das Thakur's life mission. I really feel that all of us can learn a lot from this, because all of us have come into this world with something that is waiting, something that needs first to be discovered or found. And only when we find it, only when it unfolds and develops in us, are we truly happy and satisfied. Before this, we are on the quest, on the search. Before this, we are approaching, but we have not yet reached. So in Narottam Das' case, this was extremely fascinating, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had started, let us say, a wave of bhakti, had a very special person in mind who would continue that wave which he had started, who would continue that movement which he had placed into this world and bring it into the more modern times. We have heard about this well-known story, how Mahaprabhu, during one Sankirtan procession at the banks of the Ganga, arrived at a sidearm of the Ganga, Padmavati, looked across and then called out very loudly the name of his future missionary, Narottam. No one at that time knew who Narottam was. And no one could ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at first, because right after calling out this name, he fainted. He didn't talk. Only later he talked to Nityananda, and also we hear Jiva Goswami about the greatness of Narottam and his future mission. Narottam didn't know about what was in store for him. Narottam was born as the only son of King Krishnananda and his wife Narayani, and he grew up as a little prince. But right in the beginning, he had contact with devotees who had seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he had heard from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a little bit like all of us who have also met devotees who told us about the great avatar of bhakti. Narottam also heard, and as he heard more and more about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings, he lost all interest in what the world had to offer him, and that was a lot because he was a prince. One day, after Lord Nityananda appeared in Narottam's dream, he got up in the night and went down to the Padmavati River. And as he touched her water, Padmavati swelled and took on her goddess form and then gave Narottam Das Thakur the love which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had placed into her waters and which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had instructed this goddess Ganga to give Narottam when he would take his first bath in the waters. After that, he was a truly transformed personality. It is said he was before a little blackish or dark in complexion, but now he was shining golden. Hare Krishna. And he went, he escaped, it's a long story, I will not repeat everything, the loving prison of the palace. He took a pretext and he ran to Vrindavan. And because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told him, you must go to Vrindavan and you must seek in Vrindavan the sacred initiation from Lokanath Goswami. That's all he knew. Vrindavan, Lokanath Goswami. So we will start today as he enters Vrindavan, something which will happen to some of us in a few weeks also. We will also enter Vrindavan. And in a way, going to Vrindavan means to discover more, at least, of your life's mission. And I remember I was once in a TV program in the Tempodrome in Berlin, and the German popular singer Nina Hagen interviewed me about pilgrimage, and he said, isn't it that a pilgrim must have a burning question? And as he goes on his journey, this journey stops being a touristic journey, a tourist doesn't have a burning question, and turns into an inner journey, pilgrimage. Then I said, Nina, you got it right. And yes, one should feel an invitation before one goes to Vrindavan, a clear indication that something will be revealed, which is unclear at the moment. So let me start here. I will just remind Gaur Krishna, you are ready? Good. Mm-hmm. As Narottam entered the sacred land of Vrindavan, he saw under some trees a few white cows grazing. And as he saw this peaceful scene, he was overcome with emotion. And inside said, my Lord was herding also cows. This is where he danced with his cowherd boyfriends and the gopis. And as Narottam went further on, he saw the bluish-black waters of the Yamuna River, and an image came up. And this is where he danced on the hoods of the Kaliya demon. Then he was overwhelmed with further emotions which a pilgrim knows. And his heart melted and he said, oh my Lord, please protect me. Please purify my inner heart so that I can feel closer to you and that I can see your divine pastimes. Only when I understand this Vrindavan will my spiritual life be successful. He saw the parrots which were chirping, and he saw the ever playful monkeys jumping through the trees, and remembered how Krishna was feeding these parrots and also the monkeys. And he thought in his heart, every living being in Vrindavan is very, very special, because they wouldn't be here if they wouldn't be dear, very dear to my Lord Krishna. As he thought more and more, there was the cry of the peacock. And he remembered how Krishna used to dance, and how the peacock considered himself the dancing instructor of Krishna, and had rewarded his best disciple, his best student, with a peacock feather from his own tail. In this way, Narottam felt shivers of divine memory going through him. Something which every visitor of Vrindavan can even feel today. Rupa Goswami describes that even an occasional visitor to Vrindavan will feel delightful spiritual feelings as he enters the atmosphere of Braj. And bhava, an exalted state of love, for Syam, for Krishna, Syama Sundar Krishna is awakened upon coming in touch with this divine atmosphere. Then Narottam saw in the distance the large red sandstone temple dome of a very, very special building. In deep excitement, he asked some ladies who were passing, carrying water on their head, what is that building there? And they looked incredulously, it means without understanding that he didn't know, at him and said, "Oh newcomer, this is the Govindaji Mandir." Govindaji! He knew the deity of Rupa Goswami. He ran into the temple. And as he entered the temple, he fainted, not being able to contain the spiritual emotions any longer. When he came out of his faint, there was a devotee who was bending over him. This devotee had a very saintly expression in his face and said, "You must be Narottam." I don't know how you feel when you come somewhere and someone said, "You must be Gadadhar." Maybe you feel pleased. But if it's someone whom you really do not suspect that he knows you, you say, "How is it that you know me?" This devotee smiled and he said, "I have heard about you from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My name is Jiva Goswami." Jiva Goswami! Pang, he fainted another time. When he woke up, Jiva took him by the hand and brought him before the deity of Govindaji. This is all very nicely described. And when he had the darshan of Govindaji, he felt extremely close to the Lord. It is said, after Krishna's disappearance, there was no deity of him on this planet. So Uttara, who was very young when Krishna was there, a little girl, ordered some people to some deity wallers, they're called, those who chisel deities, to make the beautiful form of the Lord. And she was not satisfied with the first form. He said, this is how my Lord's face look. The rest is different. Then the second form was made, and he explained, this is how his hips looked. But that's all. And the third form was also made. This is how, and she said, this is how the feet of my Lord looks. It took the Lord to personally manifest everything, feet, hips, and face, in one deity. Do you know who this self-manifested deity is?
Radha Raman.
Yes, he manifested himself. Who can make the Lord appear? He has to appear on his own. So, but Govindaji, if I remember correctly, his face looked exactly like the face of Krishna, according to Uttara. Yes. So, after the darshan, where Narottam fainted another time, he was so overwhelmed, you know, his heart's desire was complete. Jiva Goswami said, I want to show you someone very special. He will only be a little bit longer with us on this planet. So they immediately went. And when they came into a beautiful area in the forest, they saw a very old sadhu sitting on the ground. He was chanting japa and he was bent over. He was not noticing them. And he was crying in ecstasy. Jiva Goswami whispered in the ear of Narottam, that is Lokanath. Remember when Narottam escaped out of the royal palace and ran away from the guards who kept him under strict surveillance? He only knew two things. I must go to Vrindavan and I must see Lokanath and take initiation from him. Now, two of his missions, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told him, were for one and a half fulfilled. The last half proved to be the most difficult thing in his life. Jiva said now out loud, Lokanath, Narottam is here. When Lokanath Goswami heard the name Narottam, he came out of his deep absorption in the holy name. He called out Narottam and he said, come here. Last evening, the last night, Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared in my dream and said, you would come tomorrow. Welcome in the dark. Narottam knew Lokanath Goswami had, together with his friend, found the lost holy places in Vrindavan where Krishna had performed his pastimes. I think many of you have heard the story. Last year we were on the footprints of Lokanath in Vrindavan and we learned that he had a deity, small deity, Radha Vinoji, whom he carried in a burlap bag around his neck. And it was this deity who told him, straight a little bit further, there is where I performed my pastimes. He had stopped him as he walked and said, here is the lake Kusum Sarova. Actually, most of Vrindavan's holy places, which you can visit now, were found by Lokanath and Bhugava Goswamis, who started to make the transcendental land map of Vrindavan by finding and bezeichnen and designating all the holy places of Lord Krishna's pastime. It's all over Vrindavan. Narottam knew this. As he looked at Lokanath, his great appreciation grew, because he knew this was a devotee to whom Krishna personally talked. Jiva Goswami said, Lokanath, I would like to invite you to take prasadam together with me and Narottam. Lokanath was very joyful. He was like a little child. He came along, and then Narottam, and then they went to Jiva Goswami's place, and when prasadam was served, Narottam sat a little on the side, not directly with these two devotees who were direct associates of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Jiva said, come sit with us. But Narottam says, I'm not worthy to even be close to you. I have no right to sit with you. I don't even have a guru. And this Lokanath laughed loud. And he said, you don't... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given you his love. And you want a guru? Do you think a guru can give you more than the Lord? And he laughed and laughed. Jiva Goswami looked at Narottam and said, it won't be easy. Narottam decided to not pursue the matter any further on their first meeting. Later he asked Jiva Goswami, all the scriptures say one must take a spiritual master. The disciple attains perfection when he is guided by a dear devotee of the Lord. But without such guidance, he is like a ship without a rudder. Jiva said, Lokanath has made a vow to not accept any disciples. He is so humble that he does not even want his name to be mentioned in Krishna Das Kaviraj's Chaitanya Charitamrita. This Narottam is the embodiment of renunciation. Can you imagine? He does all day and night bhajan, and he never ever gets up to beg for madukari, for food. If something is brought to him, he accepts. If something is not brought, he goes on fasting for days. But you stay here in Vrindavan. Don't be in anxiety. Stay with me. The Lord wants many things of you, but you need to know the Bhakti Shastras for this. So I will teach you in the scriptures about Bhakti. So Narottam went into the school of Jiva Goswami and was soon joined by two other great souls, Srinivas Acharya and Shyamananda. You will hear a little bit later about these two souls. So one day Narottam came to Jiva Goswami and said, I should be in anxiety, I should be in brash, no anxieties. Yes, I'm understanding, I'm doing bhajana, but in my heart I feel I need the mercy of Lokanath Goswami. Is there any way how we could move Lokanath Goswami to accept me? Jiva said,
but the scriptures say, the Gita says, you must approach a great soul by service. Only when you do service and you ask questions, will that soul speak to you, and will you be able to even see him and recognize him. Without service and asking questions, it won't work. So you serve Lokanath. What can you do for Lokanath? I mean, he doesn't want anything of this world.
Narottam went into the forest and observed Lokanath, and he could find out that every day he went to a hidden place, and when he followed him, he saw he was answering nature's call and afterwards bathing. Then he had an idea. When Lokanath was back at his place of bhajan, he went right to the Yamuna, got some clay from the Yamuna and some sand. Then he got a little broom and some metal thing. He cleaned the place. He covered it with pure white sand, and he put a little Yamuna clay in case Lokanath wanted to clean his hand with clay or mud after answering nature's call. Next morning, Lokanath came to his bathroom place, you can say, in the forest. He saw it was very clean. 1 month passed. Every day it was clean. The one evening, Narottam was just coming out of the forest to clean. He heard the voice, very old but strong voice, of Lokanath. Hey! Who's there? He saw Lokanath was coming closer. Narottam couldn't run away like this. He came trembling out of the forest. What are you doing? You are a prince. Do I have to say it very clearly? I don't want to be anyone's master, and I do not want to take anyone's service. Bas, goodbye. And he went into the his bhajan place. Narottam followed him and he said, Gurudev, I'm not your Gurudev. Have you ever seen a young girl who has fallen in love? She will need the permission of her father or die. In the same way, I have given my heart to you, and I hope that the Supreme Lord, the Father of all of us, will give his permission for this relationship to take place. If not, I will die. Lokanath didn't say anything. There was nothing to be said. They parted ways. The next day, Narottam came again. Loganath said, come. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared in the night and he has ordered me. Tell Jiva Goswami, in 2 weeks from now, your initiation will take place. Jiva Goswami, you must know, was the undisputed acharya at that time of all the Vaishnavas. When Narottam thus told him, he was the most happy person. And he arranged for a very small initiation. Small means there was no large attendance. And on so-and-so date, I forgot, the initiation took place. Krishna had accepted and had given Narottam's desire and had moved the mind of Lokanath. I would like to tell you about two experiences which Narottam Das Thakur had in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, the people say that Krishna appears to his devotees, but in disguise. Do you know one devotee where Krishna appeared in disguise and brought some milk? Madhavendra, yes. Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri's experience is described at length in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He had not gone that day for Madhukari. He had completed his Govardhan Parikraman, now sat at Govindakund, chanting when a cowherd boy came and brought him a glass of milk. And later, that same cowherd boy appeared in a spurti, that is, in a momentary appearance in Madhavendra Puri's heart, and revealed himself as Krishna. The story is well known. So once Narottam was walking with Srinivas Acharya on Govardhan Parikrama, and they came around a bend and then saw the beautiful golden brown Shilas of Giriraj. I think any pilgrim knows when he sees for the first time Giriraj hovering in Braj, sitting in Braj, and there is this effulgence coming from him, that it enters the heart, and Narottam was Srinivas were totally overwhelmed in the darshan and bathed. Talked about how Krishna was daily bringing his cows to Giriraj. As they walked further, they all of a sudden heard a flute. It was a very special flute. And there were no loudspeakers at that time, so it was not a Hari Prasad Chaurasia flute or so. And they strained their ears and heard more and more. And then Srinivas said, this flute plays melodies we have never heard. These ragas are simply enchanting our mind. Who could it be? Where could the flute sound come from? So they walked and they saw the open mouth of a cave in Giriraj. And they could hear the flute music was coming from inside the cave.
So overwhelmed with attraction, they climbed to that mouth, and when they entered the mouth, the cave of the mouth, they smelled a fragrance which was simply so overwhelming. It entered their nostrils, but much more it entered their hearts. A divine, all-assuming fragrance, and they couldn't bear it any longer and fainted. When they woke up, and they woke up at the same time, they saw a simple cowherd boy who looked at them, amused. He said, "You took very long. What moved you so much?" He looked at the cowherd boy. He was a bridge bossy, a cowherd boy. I said, "Who are you?" The cowherd boy smiled enigmatically, in Deutsch rätselhaft. Sehr rätselhaft. "I'm a cowherd boy. You know, I saw you going into the cave, and we are from here. There are many dangers in Braj, and Govardhan are snakes, and you are not from here, I can see. So I went to see and protect you. I'm just now going." And the cowherd boy walked quickly towards the entrance of the cave and disappeared. "What do you think?" said Srinivasacharya. Narottam said, "I'm wondering what you think. Could it be?" Narottam said, "I can't imagine that it could be. At least not in my case. In your case, yes, but I have no love for Krishna. And he only can be seen through the eyes of love. But they were talking as friends do, and they could not stop to talk about that cowherd boy. Soon the moon rose, and it was, the Govardhan was bathed in the moonlight, and thought, "We might as well rest here, it's too late to continue." And both of the friends went to rest in the cave. And as they were resting, they had an amazing dream. Lord Krishna was coming with his associates, and it said, "I have appeared to you. You are my very dear devotees, and soon you will fulfill a very important mission." And then they woke up. They looked at each other, and they cried and cried and embraced and fainted. This was the first divine experience. See, what a devotee desires in his heart is that his real life will be shown to him. A devotee knows that my life at the present moment is my conditioned life. It is a mixture of my karma and my material desires, which come together and form a knot in my heart, a knot of false identification with that which is not true. He knows that, but at the same time, it's so hard for him to separate that knot. Especially it is hard when there is great material happiness or great material suffering. Both of these experiences overwhelm the conditioned soul,
so that he keeps on identifying. But of the two, it is often material suffering which brings a question to the devotee, what could be a better life than the one which I lead now? Which could be a more true life than the life which I'm leading now? So therefore, of the two, it is often said in the Yoga Sutras, it is said that often for material, for conditioned souls, it is suffering which bring out the right questions in his heart. So Narottam, the idea I want to say is, wanted to know what all devotees in their hearts want to know. What is the real life, the unbounded life, the free life, the unchained life, das nicht mehr gefesselte Leben. And so one day he was sitting on his kusha grass, he was preparing for his rest, and he thought, wow, I'm so grateful. I have learned from Jiva Goswami. I am here in the land of Vrindavan. I have spiritual experiences. The great Lord has taken care of me by bringing me to the place of the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And I have seen something of Krishna, but I do not yet know my eternal service. I only know I'm his servant, but I do not know what is my destiny. Later, Narottam Das Thakur wrote in a work, Prema Bhakti Chandrika, which I have written down here, what he considers to be the most successful method of devotional service for a soul who is just about to wake up. He said it's the most successful method is to constantly remember the pastimes of Krishna in the association of his dear devotees. Now when one finally, by the mercy of these dear devotees, attains his loving devotional service, only then will one's mind be fully purified. And the distress in the heart which lingers on until that time will completely disappear. You think you are sad because your business is not working. You think you cry tears when you are misunderstood. You are suffering, or think you are suffering, when you are in anxiety about something. But do you know that your tears only have one name? Do you know that your suffering has only one cause? It is because you do not feel any longer the divine love. You are no longer, as I read today from Prabhupada, one with Krishna. You are different. You have moved away from him. One doesn't mean that you are God, but this oneness which the Vaishnavas talk about is you are together with the Lord, serving him. And because of that, you are in this world, you have adopted your personality with which you go through this life, and so on. If you are in that oneness, that loving oneness, that loving context, this loving devotional service, this bhakti experience, this love, overwhelming love, then there is simply no false identification. There are no false tears, no unrecognized causes of suffering. You are where you could be. So he says, he sings, when one finally attains this loving bhakti, the prema bhakti, no? The loving devotional service, then one's mind will be fully purified and the distress in one's heart will be vanquished. So Narottam was overwhelmed with gratitude. I'm studying music, I'm doing bhajan, but there's still one thing missing, and then he drifted off in sleep. Now in his sleep, he saw the most beautiful goddess going with soft steps in his direction. She was dressed in a blue shawl, this is how it is described, which was covering a red zari. We know that the color of red means anuraga, deep attachment. Radharani wears red and over it a blue garment. Narottam again, overwhelmed with ecstasy, looked at her, and then she began to speak. I'm pleased with your bhajan. I have seen that you have given up everything to attain my Lord. I wish that you do a very special service. Each afternoon, Champakalata makes a very special milk sweet, which all my sakis and I serve our beloved Krishna. I wish that you help Champakalata to prepare this sweet, O Champaka Munjari. She didn't address Narottam as Narottam. She addressed him as an eternal servant of one of the gopis, Champakalata. Champakalata is very mild, Janet. Very mild. She offers in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna this milk sweet, but also jewels. And has a chamara visk, you know, when you see the eight gopis, and one of them has a chamara visk, that's Champakalata. And she's only one day younger than Radharani, very close. So you serve her. From now on, you will serve under her direction. Narottam woke up. He couldn't wait any longer. He ran, it was in the night. He ran to Lokanath Goswami. He was still chanting. What else will Lokanath Goswami do in the night? And he said, I don't know if it is true. Do you please confirm? What happened? What happened? And Narottam described his experience. When Lokanath heard it, he jumped up and he embraced his dear disciples and said, you are the most fortunate. You have received what all the Vaishnavas want, a service from Srimati Radharani. You are the most fortunate. And he embraced and he paid his obeisances to his disciple and was totally overwhelmed with happiness. From that day on, Narottam would go in the afternoon hours enter deeply into meditation. And then in his spiritual identity, he brought very fragrant wood, very dry wood. He brought it to a fireplace, and he boiled, and he got fresh milk, and he boiled the milk so that Champakalata could make the special milk sweet. One day, maybe he had taken too much aguru wood. The milk was boiling, it was boiling over. And it fell on the in the fire. Narottam or Champaka Manjari thought, oh no, the sweet is ruined. She took with her bare hand the container and quickly moved it from the fire. Then, and brought the container where the sakis were waiting to prepare the milk sweet. Then he came out of his, or she came out of her the meditation, looked at the hands, and they were burned. Immediately, to cover her good fortune, or his good fortune, he was wiping his hands so that no Vaishnavas would see him. But when Jiva Goswami saw him in the evening for the lessons, he knew everything just by this gesture. He said, you are the most fortunate. You are fully accepted in the service of Radharani and her sakis. These were blissful days in Vrindavan, full of experiences, full of friendship, full of love. But they were not meant to last. The mission was made waiting. Every day, Narottam, Srinivas, and Syama Sundar watched Jiva Goswami, and they could see the great Acharya was increasingly in distress. The distress of Jiva. Please hear. After Mahaprabhu's disappearance, the divine mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell in disorder. Yes, there was Virachandra, the son of Nityananda. But because Nityananda had also gone, Advaita Acharya had gone, everyone had gone, Virachandra was there. He was a divine personality. But because of his independent nature, he was not able to unify the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The sons of Advaita had fallen into confusion and made him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and disregarded Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, something which gave great pain to some of the Vaishnavas who practiced in solitude. Different types of sects sprang up, who all took advantage of the popularity of Chaitanya Nityananda and proclaimed their own philosophies, which were mixed with mundane interpretations. Dark clouds of confusion gathered over the Gaudiya sky, and Jiva was the only undisputed Acharya, also der Acharya, der nicht angezweifelt wurde, was in Vrindavan, and he was understanding something had to be done. So one day he called his three disciples, these divine personalities. He said, leave Vrindavan. I have prepared a big chest, Truhe in Deutsch, with all the Goswami's literature, which they have written under the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have learned these Bhakti Shastris. Go. Go to Bengal. No, go to Dadesh. Go everywhere. And Narottam, the Lord wants you to do the impossible, to spread His love all over. The three of them got up. They discussed amongst themselves and they said yes. There was a big festival, a farewell festival, when the three great devotees went with oxen, with an ox cart full of books and guards. It is a long story. They arrived at a small kingdom of Vishnupur, and as they parked the ox cart for the night, they the books were stolen. The king Bihambir had heard about a big treasure coming into his kingdom. He didn't know that it were books. He thought it's money, and he had sent a gang of robbers. They had stolen the books. When they woke up in the morning, Srinivas was already there. He said the books were stolen. We have to act quickly. I stay here. I get the books back. I will find them. Narottam, you go to your village, Kitturi Gram, and you start your mission from there. Syamananda, you go with Narottam to Kitturi and then onwards to Orissa and spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission there. And this is what came. No one can describe, and I will not even try it, how the three friends said goodbye to each other. They were devastated. They had been ordered to fulfill a mission, but now the books, the foundation of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, were no longer. All they could do is they could talk about the realizations in their own hearts, what they had understood, what were their insights, and live from these divine treasures. It's something which all of you have to also learn. What have you understood? What have you deeply seen in your practice? At times of tremendous misery, this is the only shelter which you have. These devotees took shelter in their realizations, and the most amazing things happened. But we will end our katha here. Come back for Narottam part 3. I would like to end this by singing with you one of the songs of Narottam. It will be distributed to you. Can maybe someone give? You have to somehow split it up. Matthias, you can give the Matajis. And you have to look in the text and sing it. You Narottam Das Thakur sings, the divine couple Sri Sri Radha and Krishna are my life and soul. In life or death, I have no other shelter but them. In a forest of small kadamba trees, on the bank of the Yamuna, I will seat the divine couple on a throne made of brilliant jewels. I will anoint their dark and fair forms with sandalwood paste scented with shua, and I will fan them with a chamara whisk. Oh, when will I behold their moon-like faces? After stringing together garlands of malati flowers, I will place them around their necks, and I will offer tambula scented with camphor to their lotus mouth. With the permission of all the sakis, headed by Lalita and Vishaka, I will serve the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Narottam Das, the servant of the servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, longs for the service to the divine couple. I'm very, 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 very amazed to see here. I will fan them with a chamara whisk. You remember what is the service of Champakalata? So the servant of Champakalata assists a divine master. Yes.
Amen. Thank you. Oh, I'm
So, Hare Krishna, I thank you all very, very much. I should just mention it. Today is, of course, also the appearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I think many of you know. But personally, you know, has charmed my heart to see really the elements of Narottam Das Thakur, let me say, developing and finding his mission. I can see that also in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's example, how at the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was, let us say, not so much in swing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared, and his grandfather Radha Vallabha, a great astrologer but also a great Vaishnava, saw this little boy, and because great Vaishnavas can see things, he said a few days, it was just a few days before his departure, this person will become the greatest of Vaishnavas. And we know it is due to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's effort that the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was found. He spread the chanting of the holy name in the form of Namhatta all over Bengal, and he described kirtan. It's very interesting, at the future church in which all faiths would come and take place. And I am now going to Nairobi, Africa, and cannot wait to see. There will be many, many inspired chanters waiting, and many guests will come and join us in this. It's not a building, the future church. It may not be any structures, visible structures. It is taking shelter in Krishna by chanting his holy name. So Narottam also was spreading the holy name. He is a great musician, and I think it is next part 3, where we will hear what Narottam established in Keturi Gram. It's really the beginning of, or the second beginning, I should say, of the Sankirtan movement. Second beginning. The first was obviously Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I'm very amazed that today is the appearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who really gave this prophecy that he said, there will be a time when the Russians and the Indians will join the Prussian brothers. We are Prussia, Preußen, in the land map of the 18th century, you know. No Germany, Russia. in the old maps. When will they join? And they will join in the chanting of the holy names. So this is which I just wanted to say, and I hope that all of us will gather up their faith, even when it's sometimes broken and splinters are here and there. Bring it all together, that we will be a container, a vessel, eine Vase in German, where Lord Chaitanya can pour his mercy in. And it is exactly for this reason, to become a good receiver, that I'm going on pilgrimage in a few days. Well, first Africa, and then some responsibilities in India, but then I will lock the door behind me and go for and chant extra rounds and think extra of Radha and Krishna, so that I will become a better container where the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is not just flowing in and then going, but that it is staying in the heart. I'm saying also goodbye to all of you. When I go on pilgrimage, I never know if I will come back or how I come back. It's somehow the feeling of a pilgrimage. We don't go on pilgrimage with the idea to come back. We go with the idea to move forward. It may not be externally a change, I don't know. But I mean, I'm not thinking like this, but I hope that it will move forward, and please bless me. You are all very kind Vaishnavas. You are from this wonderful community, and also those who visit these programs on the internet and who listen through Konya Bihari's Sharana service in the Sharanagati library. We have formed a community of the Gora Lila people, I hope to serve you much better when I return, let's stay connected. Now, I wish to end here. I don't want to keep you longer, and also tomorrow is another day. We have another very interesting guests, and I have to do many things before we go. So all the best. See you whenever we are back. I will be back sometimes in December, but I don't know if there will be Gora Lila evenings in December, but most probably in January it will start again, most probably. So all the best, and Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna.